there! Welcome to The Horrible Show, the editorial video game podcast from HorribleNight.com, and we apologize once again, because we're coming at you live on Tuesday, April 23rd. I didn't look it up. What day?
I think it's the 23rd.
We're going with the April 24th. It's in the 20s.
No way. It's already...
Confirmed. Internet.
Bullshit.
What?
Uh-oh.
This can't be true.
I think
Whatever. I think it is. I think you're right. I'm an asshole. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm your host, Justin Lacey, surrounded by these dummies. To my right.
Come on now.
To my right is Ethan Moses.
Hey, everybody.
Well, you got that part right.
Our song and dance man.
Yep. Yeah, I am, and I'll do it all night. Hey.
And also sitting at this table in his wonderful, posh office space.
It's an office.
It's Josh Lee.
Hi.
Yeah, you might notice.
How's it going?
Might notice if you tuned into any other our other live shows that our venue has changed a little bit.
Yes,
and I think you will see a bump in quality due to that change,
and a down bump of what is the opposite of a bump? Like because a bump goes up.
Bump goes up. Valley. When you get
a valley,
you get valleyed.
Preparation time. It doesn't work. No,
it doesn't. Doesn't.
It's easy on me now, though.
And then hopefully maybe next time we'll get Cole Monroe a little bit closer to the action, but he's hanging out over my shoulder on the stream.
Yeah. I don't want to be any closer to
you and
it's
Ethan have lovely backs.
His head is big on the monitor.
He's about 3 feet
away.
Big
enough already.
It's pretty close. I think I'm aren't I sponsoring you with my back?
Or... Are you what?
I'm not sending you messages with the back of my shirt.
Yes, it says www.com. Or Zelda. I can't tell.
One of the two. Pretty close. All right. Tonight's topic. We are going to continue our monthly theme on Horrible Night of You Fools. And tonight we're going to look at all the games that have made us feel dumb. And but before we do that, we will kick the show off with our game industry shout-outs, taking a look at the headlines in the industry that have had our attention recently, and then do some horrible shout-outs where we recap some Horrible Night editorials that from the many writers here on HorribleNight.com. And then normally we jump into our on-the-spot question, but tonight we have a very special announcement and giveaway related to that announcement. And so what you'll want to do is log into twitch.tv/HorribleNight and log into chat, because we're going to pick our winners from your answers there in chat.
It's going to be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. I'm going to pee.
And then we'll go into our on-the-spot question, taken from the audience, and then start our discussion about all of those game experiences that have made us feel a little bit stupid. And I'll wrap the show up with HorribleNight.com updates and take a little bit of a break before we come back for some live gaming. So stick around. Thanks for joining us tonight, and let's kick this off with some game industry shout-outs. From Ethan Moses to kick us off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think last week, Chuck Beaver of Dead Space fame made a comment about Gears of War and how bad the writing was. Got a little bit of a backlash, as things tend to do on the internet, and those statements were retracted, and actually the blog where this where he said this is nowhere to be found. That was actually an EA blog.
Huh. Coincidental. Did this really happen?
Well, that's the thing. That's what right now the speculation is, why? Why did this just disappear? And did it even exist? It's like the Loch Ness Monster or the guy that assassinated Kennedy. Did any of it happen? Or was it just created in our minds?
Yeah, yep, that's it.
I think the same conspiracy people are behind it.
All right, it sounds like it. But interesting thing about this, I think the video game industry retracts everything. I mean, people talk so much smack about everybody else, and then as soon as somebody's like, oh, that wasn't nice, they're like, oh, I didn't really say it. You took it out of context. You can't take the writing is shit. You didn't really say that. I'm taking that out of context. But you know what I'm saying. You can't just say, oh, that's out of context. What I said was the writing wasn't good, but the writing was good. You know, like you can't do that. You know, just you know what, people? If you have an opinion and you feel like it, just say it. Don't retract it. Keep it up. You know, I say stupid shit all the time. All the time.
And retract it. Immediately.
Well, I apologize. I never retracted anything.
I usually just cut it out of your articles.
that usually has to go.
Forced retraction, I think that's called.
Have you guys noticed this about all this retraction going on in the game? You have not noticed any retraction. That's all I see is retraction. Every day retraction.
No, not really.
Well, fuck. I notice a lot of pussyfooting around.
There's some pussyfooting.
Okay, okay. I see retraction where you see pussyfooting.
Either way, don't do it. Just go into it. Real hard. Boom.
It started making me think of Phil Fish's comments a month ago or so. But just anytime anybody actually goes out and says something strong, definitive, they're kind of shot down for it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was shooting down an entire country, so that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I would like to see people kind of stand by their statements a little bit more and kind of take some criticism as well.
Yeah. We're kind of a soft... our country's a bit soft in terms of kind of, you know, constructive criticism. You can't really constructively criticize anybody. It's like, oh, you did a really good job, and then what you really want to say is, it's not that good. You know, you can't do that now.
Is that related in some way to the, you know, saying, now, no offense, but, and then offending someone? Because, like, you can't actually do that.
Right.
No, yeah, it doesn't work. Like, today, Josh walked downstairs, and he had this button-up, dreadful button-up. And I said, look, that looks like crap. Change. And he did. I'm not going to retract that. I'm honest with him. And now he looks a lot better. He's got a shirt with a tree on it. That's much better for podcasting.
That no one can see.
No one can see, yeah.
Especially our audio listeners. Cole, anything to add before we move on?
Nope.
I don't even know what Ethan's talking about.
No, don't worry, dude. Nobody does.
Nobody does. Yeah, no one has any. Right.
Yeah. Well, do you have a shout-out that he can ignore?
Trials Evolution. We might be doing something later with that tonight. I'm not sure. But it's a kind of a big deal, I guess. It sold a lot last week on its first week of release.
How much?
Gamasutra. They don't release that kind of information right away, but the website Gamasutra figured out that they probably sold around 100,000 copies, digital copies. And so that's, you know, like $1.5 million in gross in one day.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good, right?
That's a lot. I figure it's got to be a lot if a news story comes out since Microsoft hides all their Xbox Live sales figures so often. But then again, Trials HD kind of became the Xbox Live Arcade's like sales darling because it was always near the top
of
sales
charts. I think it is the game of all time.
Yeah,
and so on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Didn't it do better than Titanic?
Just gotten that in right before I finished my sentence, it might have been funny. But instead,
I don't like Titanic jokes.
Instead, you've offended him.
You don't like Titanic?
No,
it was a good game.
No, the ship was bullshit.
Wasn't there a game? There was a game, like it was Titanic. No, it was on the Super Nintendo, and you were on a ship. Well, I guess it was more like the Poseidon Adventure, basically. But it's the same thing: big ship, and it's sinking, and you're on it, and it's turning upside down. No one played this.
Did Titanic copy Poseidon Adventure, or did Poseidon Adventure copy Titanic?
Gene Hackman copied James Cameron.
Hackman?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Can we get back to Trials, because I love that fucking game. Trials Evolution.
It's pretty fun.
I was reading some other articles around its release, and just, it was one of those first games in a while, well, at least the first game since Mass Effect 3, to take over my Xbox Live friends list that night. And
yeah.
So that was a lot of fun, just because it's so leaderboard-based to see. You know, I've just been surprised that, at first glance, Trials doesn't seem like a game that would have a lot of mass appeal, but it's just so damn fun, and
yeah,
everybody
plays.
It's
a flash game, you know? I mean, really, I mean, that's where it started, like that, in that genre. How the hell did that become
the number one?
Yeah, and then with a sequel that's now selling like the previous
hot
one.
Hot motorcycles.
Hot chairs. panned cakes. You guys just actually introduced that to me tonight.
Those don't sell.
And I liked it a lot.
People are going to witness your really introduction.
Good. I had a really good time. It was fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But it is also one of the most frustrating games I've ever played. Yeah. Which is, it's kind of, yeah, that should be on the list tonight. Because that game, it doesn't make me feel like I suck.
Save it, Josh. We can talk through this.
Yes,
yeah. We'll talk through this.
It'll be therapy for me, which I need it because that fucking game.
You got your journal? Just write it in there. But you might steal the piece of paper. Close it, Josh. What's your shout out?
Sorry, I was writing. Okay, this isn't exactly new news. Maybe if you really pay attention to stuff, but I'm guessing you guys just totally forgot about Dragon's Crown. that was supposed to come out at the end of March?
No, because I read this exact story.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But
so
it's new to me.
All right. So do you know Dragon's Crown, a Vanillaware game? It's been in development for a while. It's a,
do you know,
like a side-scroller. They did Miramasa of the Demon's Blade. They did Odin's Fear for PS2. Gorgeous 2D games. In today's world, that seems like kind of the rarity, right? So anyways, this game is going to be a side-scroller, beat-em-up, a la, you know, The Simpsons game or Golden Axe or, you know, those kind of things. With really over-the-top fantasy style, you know, like Heavy Metal magazine cover is kind of what it looks like. Looks awesome. And anyways, it got announced, I think, last year at E3. I was super pumped for it. It's on my watch list. And then, you know, I had, like, you know, I'm watching every once in a while. I go and look and see, you know, is there any news? No, no. Like, the release date is like, here. Okay, it's next week. Where's the game at? And turns out that it was Ignition, I think, was publishing that game. I don't know if they had some trouble there or there was some funding issues because it was taking too long. Atlas jumps in
as always.
To save the day. Yes. So big ups to the guys at Atlas. We're not going to get the game until 2013 now, but we're going to get the game, which is the important thing. Really pumped for this, so
but
it'll come out eventually.
Like, two questions as a Vanillaware fan: have they released a game this generation? I can't think.
This generation?
Oh, my bad.
Miramasa.
I forgot it.
Yeah.
Sorry, which takes away from my second question. All these games are always Sony exclusives because it's still only coming out on PS3,
right.
And I would like to play those on multiple.
Did they do something on WiiWare?
I don't know.
Since then,
I don't know.
Anyone? I'm not looking it up online. We don't do that.
Yeah,
I don't know. No fact checking.
I think they're. I think Odin Sphere showed up on the PSN store.
That
was
a count. Come on.
I'm just trying to promote the games because not everybody played them.
Oh, well, in that case, sure. Oh, it's great. Yeah, oh, check it out.
Since you're going to be waiting until 2013 to play this game, go back to their
Just go get Miramasa because that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a Wii still in their closet.
Yeah. I don't know where mine is, actually. I lost it. Is that the one where the female characters have just very gigantic...
They do, yes.
Tracks
oversized.
Of land. Yeah. Very, very gigantic... magical powers.
Yeah. And there's the
talking boobs, people.
The Valkyrie, like the Valkyrie style character, I don't know if that's what they call it, but is super chesty, but also unbelievably muscular.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
Just frightening.
Well, this is all flattering conversation. This,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, the 2D graphics are great.
Yeah, no, they look good. Looks like a good game.
Moving on to my shout out, this weekend I participated in the Diablo 3 public beta / and more emphatically stress test.
I need a beta.
Kate sounds horrible. I'm only on the fence with this game because I'll be honest, I didn't play a lot of Diablo 2. Played a lot of Diablo 1, and then Torchlight 2 is like right around the corner. So, I was drawn to Diablo 3 just from its, from all the demons and all the hell focus of that series. So I was really excited. I found out late on Friday that the public beta was going to happen last weekend, and I'm like, you know what? I've got some game time this weekend. I'm going to block off some time, and I'm going to play some Diablo 3 and make a purchase decision.
Did it sell you?
I didn't really get to play it because it was, like I said, it was more of a stress test. I had lots of connectivity issues, and they were they were really fighting them all weekend. And
was it a stress test on their servers or on the people trying to play?
On their, I was getting upset, but I was also trying to figure out, did I have the right to be upset because it was free? Well, and
it's a beta test, and they called a stress test. It's supposed to break their shit.
But here's the
thing. It's not a demo. It didn't say demo, although, I mean, they use them as demos a lot of times.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I haven't had much of an issue with DRM that, like, requires the online connection. And Diablo 3 is going to require an online connection to play. And I never really thought about that being much of an issue because I'm not the type of person that's going to, like, take my laptop and try to play this on the plane when I can't have a connection or whatever. But because my connection was so bad, I couldn't enjoy what felt like to be a single-player game to me that seemed like it should be running off my hard drive and just I shouldn't have these issues. But it was, so it was just it's very odd that I was having issues that I can easily put out of my mind for like an MMO, but my brain hadn't made that transition that I'm going to have these issues to try to play Diablo 3. I was like, I just want to shut off my internet connection and play. I don't care about connecting to your server, but
they won't have those problems for long.
Right.
It's a Blizzard. They, I mean, yeah, they got a lot of resources to throw at those problems.
I just felt kind of used because, you know.
It's not like it. I mean, there was no false advertisement there. Stress test means
you're
try
stressed
to break it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And you did it.
It broke a lot.
Good job. Well, Blizzard says thank you.
Well, I mean, talking about that game, I'm getting really excited because they're kind of showing some profiles on the classes that you can pick.
What are you playing? What are you going to play?
Man, I'm torn. Demon Hunter looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Witch Doctor looks really awesome.
Yep. Tower Zombies.
I didn't know that's, what we were. Yeah. That's what, sure. See, I thought he did that, okay. but that was it was a good transition. But the monk is quick, and yeah, he just seems really passionate, like a lot more passionate.
Don't you think the monk would have more power since he's like religious and shit?
He does. He's
he does. Well,
the dude zips around the screen Nightcrawler.
Yeah,
Nightcrawler monk.
Hey, Cole, take it back. Please retract that statement.
I was offended for some reason. I don't even know why anymore. But
I just,
what are you trying to say about my demon hunter? That
isn't he on the side of the demon? So
no, he's hunting. No, he's hunting.
Oh. His name.
I can report that the game is in fact Diablo.
Yeah.
So I got that much out of the hour and a half that I think I finally
is
got
Diablo
play.
In it.
Yes. Yes. There mm-hmm. is actually you go through. Mm-hmm. Old Tristram mm-hmm. from the first game, and it's not in good shape. But
And everyone's favorite old man does make an appearance.
He makes a lot of voiceover appearance.
Yeah, he does. And Torchlight 2 is for pussies.
All right, we're going to move on to our horrible shout-outs, but just a reminder, after this segment, we will be talking about our special giveaway.
So. What?
If you're not paying attention in chat, you better get to know JP, because he's going to have all the power here in a moment.
Pay attention now.
Horrible shout-outs, given some attention to the other writers on HorribleNight.com. Coleman, who would you like to talk about?
Well, I don't like to shout this person out very often, but JoshLee.com and his, what he calls, the best podcast on the Horrible Night podcast network, Super Gaming Best Friends. Last week's episode about what was it titled? Something about coconuts.
It was really memorable. It sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the horrible show is better.
Sure, coconut water.
H2O coconut water. That's what Super Gaming Best Friends was about. It was hilarious, and yeah, I wasn't even on the show, so it was pretty good without me.
Are you saying that Josh Lee was the funniest and the most entertaining on the show?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's the host.
I'm just saying there are two other members of this show that were on that episode, and you're pointing out Josh Lee.
All I'm saying is that he's the host.
Okay.
It's his show. Justin and Ethan, you did fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if it sucks, I'm going to get it. It's going to fall on me then.
Aaron,
so. Yeah.
I don't have to compliment Aaron because I don't see him anywhere.
Oh.
That's terrible.
He's not in the chat. He's not on my video screen. So, Aaron, sorry.
Well, I thought Aaron did a great job for putting up with us.
No, mm-hmm. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious. I listened to it at work, and I got many looks to like, what the fuck is that guy listening to? He's having a great time. Yeah. And I said, Super Gaming Best Friends, of course.
Of course. And in all seriousness, though, it's been fun since we kind of split up the shows at the beginning of the year. We handed over the reins of Super Gaming Best Friends, kind of a different show than The Horrible Show, and we weren't sure if the shows were going to come out very different, and I think Josh has given that show its own identity, and we like supporting both The Horrible Show and Super Gaming Best Friends. So when you're missing The Horrible Show, chances are there's a new episode of Super Gaming Best Friends out, because those are our weekly shows.
And if you like these guys, you know, we have some rotation on the other show, but if you like us, for the most part, you're going to get us, but we derail more.
Yeah.
And if that sounds cool, then you'll love the other show.
You also talk about poop a lot more. So if you guys like poop.
Yeah, everyone. Look, everyone does it. Everyone sees it and they smell it. And at home, in the privacy of their own, you know, whether it's the bedroom or on the phone with their mom or whatever, they talk about it.
Yeah.
So, like, anybody that gives us shit for talking about it on the air, like, you're a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah. Poop is our, poop is everyone's reality.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It's part of our lives.
It's a very Zen thing for me to say, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Changing the subject.
You guys are getting too romantic.
Yeah, was
poop.
It?
Oh, shit.
That was Zen, man. Josh, Zen. Josh, what one article did you read on the site in the last couple weeks?
You know what? I read another Cole Monroe article.
Whoa!
Hey!
Let me tell you, he does some good work. We have great writers. But something about Cole's stuff, it either, like, it really hits home. It's because when I'm reading it, I picture him reading it to me. And I can't do that with everyone. Probably because no one else has ever done that, but I've actually heard Cole read things to me on several occasions, usually from Nintendo Powers. And I don't always agree with his opinions, but I like it when he starts dialogues, and he did that this week with his Do We Need New Consoles article. It was, you know, it's been a topic since probably, I don't know. I mean, are people doing this 09? Well, like in 09, I remember looking online. I was like, you know, how long have we been talking about this? And like, there's tons of articles in 2009 that people were, you know, writing about this stuff because it was like, what, almost 4 years in, you know. So this is crazy, a crazy long cycle, but most people are satisfied with the graphic fidelity of the games still, and they do keep looking better, and people are still doing great things on the systems. And you know, and Cole's argument was like, "Hey, we just don't need it yet." He had a bunch of, you know, good valid points on either side. But my thing was, and other people jumped into the comments on there and were saying, "Yeah, you know, we don't need console. You know, we need better games, not better consoles." And I think we can have both. You know, I mean, and I think they kind of go hand in hand. I think better hardware, and it's not just about graphics. Like, that's the thing. Everyone always, it always comes down to, on the internet, at least, you know, the layman's argument or whatever, is that, like, well, it looks good enough. Like, I'm not talking about the graphics. I don't necessarily care about the graphics, you know, that much. But you know, faster CPU, more RAM, and definitely better media. Like, having to stream shit from a DVD, that holds the Xbox back big time. And you hear developers talk about it all the time. They've always said this. So you're always trying to do all this little magic in the background, you know, with that kind of thing. This has got me up on my soapbox. And, you know, so I was talking about it with some people the next day after I read it. It was pretty cool. I think that we'll get a lot out of new hardware. Some people don't. But it's a good conversation to have, and Cole sparked it. So, nice job.
Dear Diary, Cole made me really upset today with his article about consoles.
I'm surprised we didn't actually get comments like that, but I was ready because it's kind of a hot button topic. But he keeps stealing his journal. That I was happy to see, Cole, that you approached it from both sides, just and addressing more of the need for new consoles versus your, like, personal wants for new consoles. Mm. And you actually came out on the side that you're perfectly happy where we're at, and but I think presenting both sides of the argument kind of worked out well. So.
Yeah, well, I think, like, a lot of the argument that I was kind of afraid of that the article would get, it would be, you know, people are delusional in thinking that new consoles automatically equals better games. Mm-hmm. And I think there was some of that. But that's not the case, obviously. Just because there's new shiny shit doesn't mean the games will be better, as we've seen at all launches. So I guess that's where my major stand is right now. It's like, you know, just because we get the new hardware and everything else, it could lead to new better games. Absolutely. But, you know, it's not always the case. And I think a lot of the internet is just automatically expecting that to happen.
Well, and it seems like, I mean, everyone's got kind of the flow down in terms of development right now. It's like, you know, the game's coming out. I mean, you know, just like Josh said, they are getting better. And that says a lot about, you know, systems that are, what now, seven years old?
Yeah, Microsoft, you know, well, and Sony, although I don't have any faith that they'll do this, but Microsoft could do something to help the transition, you know? I mean, like, they have the power to, like, make, you know, the tool. So if all the tools were the same, but you just had more at your disposal, I mean, I know that's not exactly going to be the case, but then, you know, the transition is smoother, it's faster, you get higher quality games sooner than you normally do with, you know, new hardware. But But guys, imagine a world with no fucking texture pop-in. No grass appearing 10 feet in front of your character.
I don't think that's happening next generation.
Does that happen? Does that happen on the PC right
now? I'm saying it could. Well, yeah. Well, but you can control it.
Yeah.
If you got a more powerful system, you got a slider. Here's your grass distance slider.
Yep.
So if your system sucks, you turn it down. It looks like a 360. If it's great, you just you put it up and then look. Oh shit! I can see the grass a mile away. Yeah. So that is purely. System limitation.
And that's all I really want. I don't care about new games, good graphics. I want to be able to see grass like I see in real life. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, I can see grass from a mile away now. I want to do it in my game.
My immersion!
Yeah, exactly. No, it throws me off. I mean, I'll be fighting dragons, feel like, man, this is really realistic. These dragons, they got it. They used history for this. And then I see that grass popping. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'll shut it off. I'll shut the game off right then. I'm fickle. I'm a fickle beast.
I won't kill the dragon. I won't kill the fucking grass.
Mm-hmm. I want to mow it.
It's demonic grass. It's appearing in front of me.
Well, I'm going to pile on to Cole here with my shout out.
Oh.
Because
first time we've done that.
Man Blanket. I actually enjoyed Cole brought back a series that we hadn't really touched on the site. The characters that games forgot. I think Ethan started that series. And Ethan took it, not surprisingly, in a humorous route. But Cole... came back to write the best vampire romance story in history, I think, with his recap of the rest of the story of Maria from Symphony of the Night from the Castlevania series. And I kept expecting the article to take a turn for just being ridiculous, but you stuck to the almost kind of tongue-in-cheek serious story of her love for Alucard, and I've always been curious to see where this series will go, because I don't want to start treading into that kind of fan fiction route with it, but I think it was a nice kind of addition to the site. So,
well, like my Michael Wolfskin article that went completely fanfic.
Yeah, I tried to. I was initially set out to kind of do the humorous route, and I was like, I just can't find anything funny in this, so I went Twilight serious, I guess.
Did you ever play the Dreamcast or Saturn version of Symphony of the Night that lets you play as Maria?
No.
No.
Me either, but I heard it's cool.
Ethan.
My shout-out goes to this guy who's, I don't know, he's handsome. He's talented. He's Justin Lacey, and he wrote an article about DLC. And actually, you know, I'm not going to lie, and he and I have had this conversation before, is you know, we really want to make sure that we're trying to write articles that are kind of bringing something new to the table. And so I saw it was about DLC. I was like, oh, you know, like, what's he going to talk about here? But he talked about both perspectives of this in terms of, you know, gamers have unbelievable expectations of DLC, and gaming companies just don't quite get it yet, like exactly what people are expecting, and that, you know, there's this middle ground that's just not been traversed yet. And I really have never looked at it that way, because I've been constantly complaining about DLC. I think, you know, Fallout 3 Point Lookout, which, you know, you mentioned in that article, was the last really good DLC that I was really passionate about and excited about. Especially after, you know, again, the other game, New Vegas, just kind of puttered out. I mean, it didn't really have much beside Old World Blues, but it made a lot of sense to me. It was like, you know, there's a big difference between DLC and expansions, and I think we've had this conversation in the past, and I think a lot of gamers want expansions. They want these huge, deep, you know, additions to the game, and I think and that's definitely not what a lot of the developers are doing right now. I think, I know that, you know, Kingdoms of Amalur has two expansions have come out and have gotten relatively good reviews right now. But other than that, I mean, games aren't really focused on that. And the amount of development I think it takes to make really good expansion or DLC content is also more difficult than I think some gamers think as well, you know, to make it diverse. And again, the difference between adding to it, and Justin said, you know, DLC should be supplemental, and I think that right now there's just weird kind of, I don't know, ground that's just not, no one gets it. We don't understand the developers. They don't understand us at this point, essentially what it comes down to.
It's just, it's gone on for so long, this generation, that it's all DLC news is inherently negative at this point. And the window to like really figure out what do gamers want versus what can developers provide. It's like that window has passed, and now we're just doomed to be unhappy until someone really kind of shows the way. And I was just kind of, because I had just actually finished this kind of spawned after off of my Mass Effect 2 replay of finishing some of that DLC and really enjoying it, and then starting to look back to see what other people said about it, and just finding again the gamut of people that really loved it and then people that were just hating on it for reasons that had nothing to do with what the DLC was made for. And I just kind of realized, like, our expectations are all out of whack, and how can a developer even hope to, like, to appease that? And then start thinking about my love for expansions back in the day, mm-hmm. and how those made a lot more sense. And
I mean, literally though, DLC is still new. I mean, that's, you pointed that out too. Is all we had back in the day was expansions, and they came, what, a year later for the most part, and they were no one really complained about them because it was more content. And now it's just this. Again, you get DLC, and that could be anything from like a jacket. You can get a DLC jacket to, like, again, in terms of, you know, Mass Effect and some of those other, you know, bigger RPG type games. You know, actual more different storylines, different mm-hmm. locations, and that kind of stuff. And it's a weird happy medium. And, you know, look at price point and all that. I mean, it's confusing. You don't know what you're going to get with the amount of money that you're spending.
Yeah, or sometimes you just get chainmail for your four-legged companion.
How much was that? $3.99?
Yeah, it was some. I don't know. It was something stupid. It was in points.
Oh, I guess we have come a ways since horse armor, at least.
Well, you know, you say that, sort and of. Then look at some of the shit we get now. Say. Like, oh, golden skin for your rifle and gears or whatever. Like, really,
I
want
the silver skin.
Can't.
I was gonna say, yeah. I just,
we haven't gotten away from it. Is my point.
Yeah,
we have. We also have the good stuff too. Yeah, I mean, like you're saying. Yeah. I mean, we have you know, decent shit. You know, we have an Undead Nightmare. You know,
which,
we still have, you know, $2.
That's an expansion to me. Undead Nightmare is an expansion.
That's,
and then people, and it's people trying to compare things like Undead Nightmare to Horse Armor.
Yeah,
and like, I can't really speak to people that are happy with one or the other, mm-hmm. and. It's all lumped in this one big definition that no one really fully understands, and some new lines need to be drawn.
Well, and you're right about the so much negative news coming out with DLC all the time. Is a lot of that has to do with the pre-order stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I mean that is, it leaves us such a sour taste in everyone's mouths. Multiplayer is essentially DLC, and it's like the whole term DLC. Like when it doesn't mean anything now. You know, that word has just lost its meaning. Well, and I think. You're probably onto something. We probably just need different names for things.
Well, and I mean, one,
an
you don't
expansion section in Xbox Live.
Well, exactly. Well, and you don't need to buy it. Everyone knows that. But there's also this aspect of some stuff has come at us kind of piecemeal right now. You know, it's like, you know, we should, that should come with the initial package. And I think that's where a lot of negativity is coming from too. There are some companies out there, I'm not going to name any names, that again offer you this kind of segmented package that you should have right up front, and the experience without all components isn't good. You put them all together, it's fine, but...
You know what? Give me a $70 fucking game, but give me all the shit. I'd rather do that than, like, make that decision of, like, do I want to get this stuff or not? And then, like, you know, you don't know. I played through Mass Effect 3 without a DLC character that was apparently...
Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, like, had I known... Like, I didn't know... And I was doing a review, so I didn't go and read about the game. So, you know, and I was like, and when I was playing it, I didn't miss the character. But then everyone else said, oh my God, you know, how did you not have so, shit.
Way to play the game wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't even play the game. I can't believe you did that.
It was just a weird thing. Like, why'd I have to make that choice? I don't know. There's a lot wrong with the whole way it plays out, and I think... They could go a long way to fixing it by, you know, out of the day one stuff is, that's, everybody's got an opinion on that. But everything else, just break it up. Mm-hmm. Call some, you know, stop using the word DLC altogether. Call it expansions and fucking hats. and we're good.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Josh Lee finally onto something.
Yeah. All right. It's giveaway time. But first, we have a very special announcement to make. We've been kind of working behind the scenes here to help out the Indianapolis scene a little bit in relation to game development. And a while back, we promoted on the site, the indie game the movie was going to Sundance and making its rounds to the festivals there, and we put out a request to try to help bring the movie to Indianapolis, and our voice necessarily wasn't loud enough, but we did partner up with a local group, the Indie Film Fest, and they were also interested in bringing the film to Indianapolis, and recently, they located a sponsor that was very interested in actually bringing the movie to Indianapolis. So we're happy to announce today that we are the Indie Game. The movie will be showing on Wednesday, May 23rd at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. And we're a promotional sponsor of that. And as part of that, we're going to give away two free tickets tonight. And Ethan has a special additional giveaway.
Not only do you get two free tickets, but the winners of this contest will get an opportunity to come with me to the event in my Kia, and along the way, we're going to stop and get Chicken McNuggets at McDonald's. We're going to get a 20-piece to share.
Can I win?
Yeah, no, if you get, I mean, that's a huge thing. Good gas mileage. I will clean out the back seat. And if you happen to be with somebody that you really care about, I'll be more inappropriate than I usually am. Or more appropriate than I usually am. Excuse me. So that's an added bonus. It's optional.
So
there's probably nuggets in the car already.
There probably are, actually.
Yeah. You know what that is? It never smells, though.
What?
Like McDonald's. Like I'll get in somebody's car, and there'll be french fries and nuggets and shit on the floorboard. But, like, you can't ever really... I mean, the cars will smell, maybe, but not because of that. You don't smell like old fries.
I was going to say, my B.O. overwhelmed any fast food.
It's not real food.
Smell.
Is why, yeah. I'm sorry. I digress.
Just to clear the
pickles,
air.
If you have pickles in there, it does stink.
Just to clear the air, Kia and McDonald's aren't involved in this promotion.
No, not at all.
But you and Ethan can work out those details. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask a question here shortly. And what we're looking for is, unfortunately, the Horrible Night members in the chat, you're not eligible to win tonight, but we will be doing additional giveaways with the tickets in the future.
Not if we're
sorry, Doc.
And JP is hanging out in Doc J Pizzle is hanging out in chat right now, and he's looking for the first correct answer to this question, and then we're going to kind of confirm with you that you can actually attend the event, and basically we'll have the tickets waiting for you at will call at the event, and hope to see you out at the show on May 23rd.
You can't just sell them.
No,
don't do that.
So it's question time. Get ready in chat.
Do we shoot drum? Is there a drum?
No.
People use the drum.
No, don't do it.
No one
it'll be so
oh,
loud.
I forgot.
It'll be so loud.
So the indie game, the movie features three specific the backstories of three specific games, and only one of these games, the development team has since filming gone on to make a new game, and I want to know which game of theirs is actually featured in the film. So jot your answers down in chat, and JP will make note of who came in first, and he will reach out to you and kind of make the appropriate accommodations to help you get your tickets. And we're going to move on to our on-the-spot question, and then we will check in with see how this is progressing.
Good luck.
So Brandon in chat has posted our on-the-spot question.
Uh-oh.
Related to Josh and Ethan's favorite game that came out today, The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode of The Walking Dead game from Telltale came out today as of this recording. And but Brandon just wants to know what we think on the current state of episodic gaming and if we think it's going anywhere.
Sonic 4.
Not dead.
I'm trying to think of a game that comes in episodes. What do I think about it? You know, I think it has its place. I think there's a lot of potential for it. I am a very impatient guy, and if I like the first episode, I'm going to want to watch the whole series. I don't watch series until they've been out for a year in terms of TV, and I think it'll be even worse for video games. That is just my personal opinion. I know there are people that are much smarter than me, much more handsome, have better class and education, may disagree. But I don't know. I'm not hip to it, but I can see its applications, especially in something like this, which is again, it's more of an interactive storybook. I'm not trying to be insulting when I say that. I was insulting the last time I mentioned this game, and I'm going to be less insulting this time, but that's what it is. And that fits better than in a game that you're playing and actually fighting and stabbing things. Yeah, I got off topic. Yeah, so it's not for me, but, you know, there's people that like that.
I don't like cliffhangers.
I like the movie Cliffhanger, though.
Me too.
Yeah.
Man. You just set him up, didn't you? On purpose.
Yeah.
I don't either. No, the same thing. I'm impatient. You know, I want to know what happens next. I shouldn't have to
then
wait for
wait
it.
five months and play all five at once.
Well, they're all... You can buy the whole package of all of them, but...
Well, that doesn't work.
Wait until season two's finished of Game of Thrones and then just watch the Blu-rays.
I kind of do that. Yeah, I do that with
people
my...
People are going to spoil shit, though. Not with your favorite... That must not be one of your things. There's a show that you can't not watch when it's on.
I understand.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same. I don't know. Episodic game. I understand. Like, I get it. You can get money to continue to fund the rest of the game in the middle of the game, but Notch did it. But that's a weird way to. I don't know if I like it. I mean, I like the idea of if the game sucks, you didn't have to pay full price to figure that out. But you could also do that from a fucking demo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
I mean,
it's weird. Like, there haven't been a lot of really good examples. I mean, there was like the Siren, the Blood Curse. I think that had episodes, but. I don't know anybody that just bought the episodes when it came out because they didn't know it was out because no one used PSN at the time.
Yeah.
So like, oh, you can get the whole thing on sale for $20. But yeah, Sonic, Telltale has done it.
Yeah.
But Valve has done it? That doesn't really count. episode in the title, that's the only similarity.
Way too much. Well, Telltale kind of has the monopoly on episodic gaming right now, don't they? I mean, I can't think of anybody else that really does it.
I mean, I think when they started, a lot of others tried it, and I can't think of really... a Telltale game that has like really shown the way as far as this is really effective for us. Other than they kind of everybody was more excited about them just bringing back adventure games than the episodic gaming in general.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think Sam & Max was probably their most successful episodic gaming, right?
Sure,
I would assume
that's
so.
True.
But also think about if every time somebody did the episodic stuff. It came out in the time frame that The Walking Dead is supposed to come out in. They're saying like 1 month. We're just about to get episode 2 of Sonic 4.
Yeah. That's Sega. They can't do anything right.
Well, yeah, but it's not like there are a bunch of other really good examples.
Yeah.
There may be some that I just can't think of.
They've gone away. Like everybody was doing it. Then I think, honestly, they start going to the free-to-play model more.
Yeah.
And... That revenue stream was making more sense. I think they hoped that's what episodic gaming would do, that more and more people would come on with each episode, and it's really been people play the first and second episode and kind of don't really finish them up.
Well, but they're almost always story-based.
Yeah.
And I don't like to play story games in, like, with a big distance in between play sessions. Because you forget where you are, and I mean, I know there's some ways around that—a recap or whatever.
Well, something else comes along, and you get more interested in that game, and then you totally forget about.
Well,
the episodic gaming you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it has everything to do with the gap between episodes. If they're short, and the total cost isn't more than I would normally pay, you know, or at least content-wise, it kind of matches up with normal games. Then sure, I mean, I'm on board with it, but I don't think I don't think most companies are going to want to try that. Model. I don't think it's just a weird way to like help continue to fund stuff. But if you if you don't have the money already and you're not already doing the development, like some influx of cash isn't going to do any good. If you're like with the Walking Dead stuff, if it's once a month, I mean that's a short cycle. Even though they say was it Gary Whitta is writing the fourth episode and he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah,
and it's coming out in 4 months
August.
Or something.
Yeah,
that's weird. Isn't it? That's a little weird.
I mean, it sounds soon, but...
Yeah, clearly they're not all done, and, I mean, I guess what happens if it tanks? What if they don't get any sales? Do they just stop? I mean, is there a possibility of it not continuing?
I don't think The Walking Dead is in threat of that.
No.
For, like, new companies trying to go with that model, I think definitely. And, then you don't get your...
I mean, if they didn't have a big-name franchise, people are going
to
follow that.
That's the same thing as trying to start a new franchise that you're playing. Like, what if Mass Effect 1 had... just completely flopped. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
chances of a upfront investment.
What's the difference between this and charging for alpha?
Yeah. Well, that is true.
You know? Like, what's the difference between this and Minecraft or Project Zomboid or something like that? You know, model-wise.
Just the story-focused and episodic game.
Sure, But I mean, like, just as far as if you're a developer, you know, you're looking at... I mean, the episodic way, you can do it on the Xbox Live Marketplace.
Yeah.
You're not going to go charge it for an alpha, you know, through some big publisher. You're doing it off on your website, you know.
It's just kind of like content progression in terms of, you know, the difference between this, like, Minecraft or something like that. Because, you know, you have finished pieces as opposed to with Minecraft. They continue to add and you know, expand on things that were already featured but maybe didn't have all the kinks worked out, which is this. You've got, again, five. And to me, that just... I would almost rather have an alpha, something like that, you know, to be able to be a part of and see the development. Again, it's just, I don't like this stuttered kind of approach to getting my content. Like, I want it now.
What if every episode was like a full expansion? It was, if you looked at it that way.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
You just, yeah, zen, man. You'd be all zen tonight.
You fool.
All zen.
God, Gutenberg.
All right. To be continued. I'm going to address, kind of restate the question for our giveaway. Apparently, I wasn't clear the first time. But so there are three games featured in Indie Game the Movie, and you might want to look those up to help with your answer here. But since the game has been filmed, one of the development teams has put out a different game, and there was only one development team or members of that development team. That they have an additional game that exists. Everyone else, they're still working on their next game, or their game just came out. And so we're looking for the name of the game that is featured in the movie from the team that has since put out another game in addition to the game that was featured in the movie.
Let me give them a hint. Google. It's the first step on your
Spoilers.
Journey to finding the answer. Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on chat. JP's kind of got an open line of communication with me to see how things are progressing. But let's transition, gentlemen. I think I've gathered the right group of people here to have our discussion about moments in gaming that you have just felt dumb. So you guys can tell me your stories, and I will laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I mean,
you have never felt dumb.
Right.
I feel dumb a lot. So this is going to be, I might get on a soapbox.
I think you say that, but I don't think you really do.
What, feel dumb a lot?
Yeah. I think you like to pretend that you feel dumb.
But I'm actually feeling really intelligent.
Yeah.
Isn't that worse? If I feel intelligent, but I'm actually dumb, that makes me even
no,
more dumb.
No, that means you're pretending. That's falsies.
It's a secret.
No, those aren't falsies.
It's a secret.
So, does anybody have a standout moment to kick us off?
I do.
No.
He does.
No, see, talking? I knew it. I knew it because you knew.
See,
I was going
to... Cole, yeah, do you have a standout moment that you'd like to start?
Seriously?
Well, actually... No, I want to... Somebody else can start.
I got this.
Josh has it.
Fucking Super Mario Brothers. That game can...
You are dumb.
Wait, when...
Oh!
When did that game start making you feel dumb?
Well, I can tell you when it made me feel the dumbest is a couple of weeks ago. I tried to play it again. I do this every once in a while, and especially since the last time we had this conversation. When I was a kid, it was hard, and everyone thought it was hard, so I didn't feel bad. Like, no one was sitting there going, like, "Oh, you stuck at the game," because I didn't have friends like that.
Really?
Because if they were that good, I didn't want to hang out with them because it made me feel bad. I want to hang out with people that are not as cool as me. It makes me feel cool.
Yeah.
So
that's why I hang out with you.
Yeah. See, dick. So. Super Mario Brothers was not an easy game. You know, when you got into the later stages, difficulty really ramped up. Flying fish, who was prepared for that?
Well, I was.
The castle where you know, like the screen keeps scrolling, you get the same screen again and again. You got to memorize some pattern. Holy shit!
Oh, maze.
Not everyone had Nintendo Power. Nintendo Power. Yeah, just a lot of, you know, the sky levels and stuff. That was hard.
Black sky levels were the toughest.
And that was hard.
Hammer Brothers, yeah.
No, yeah, Hammer Bros.
Popping those hammers at you, yeah.
Yep. I knew some people that got killed by a hammer. It was awful.
Like in real life?
Yeah, murder.
Oh.
Yeah. So
thanks for taking us there.
Wow. Hey,
that's cool. Look it up. All right, so then, I don't know, a year ago or so, I'm talking to you guys and... saying like, oh, you know, I've never actually beat Mario Brothers. And you're like, well, you beat Mario Brothers like you guys all
have. That
sounds
like me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I don't believe that all three of you have beaten Super Mario Brothers.
Dude, really?
You guys talk so much shit. Yeah.
I beat it in under 15 minutes, Josh.
Yeah, Cole did.
Yeah. Oh, and you were there too, right? You saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. See, I don't believe any of this stuff.
I did it when I was on the phone with my wife yesterday.
Yeah, he's
shut
good.
Up.
We all know that you're bad at video games.
You don't believe
no, I,
that
I
we
mean,
beat...
I'm not great, but I beat other games.
I'm not sure if you did.
How can you not believe we didn't beat,
beat
Super
Mass
Mario
Effect,
Brothers?
Those.
Oh,
has anybody beat Sonic the Hedgehog?
No one has.
See, what the hell? That yeah. game's not that hard.
I've never beat Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, there's a difference between the game being hard and it making you feel dumb. What?
Okay, like that game... I'm not... Like, I have played a lot of platformers in my day. I played a lot of games in general. I played a shit ton of Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and all that. And my favorite... Like, if I had to say, like, what's your favorite genre? I'd say side-scrolling platformers. You know? I like Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night are my like two of my favorite games of all time. You know, Mario controls similar. It's like less buttons. You go left, right, and you hit jump, and sometimes you hit run or shoot a fireball. And I can't... I suck at that game. It always makes me feel stupid. Like, what am I... Like, what's wrong with me? I wanted to jump, and my thumb just... Burp. I don't have motor skill issues. If you know, it's not...
Have you beat other Marios?
Yeah. Two. I beat, like, the first weekend I got it.
Way harder than one.
I would say that Super Mario Bros. 2 made me feel more dumb than any Mario game.
Because it
just because
Mario
of
game.
The ending.
Oh,
and,
oh right, yeah.
Like...
By the way, Kylie just confirmed that she beat Mario.
Yeah.
I don't believe that
actually,
at all. She's
actually,
lying.
To point that
she's
out.
Lying.
My wife beat Mario, and she does. Well, she hates video no. games. Literally hates them.
I don't believe that.
So,
I think you're all lying to me.
I'm going to draw a line here.
Prove
as far
it.
As anyone that has beaten Mario is therefore smarter than Josh.
Yeah.
that's the whole point of this topic.
Didn't they train a gorilla to beat Mario? Like a chimpanzee that actually beat Mario
I was
easily.
Told that I could come on here and I could say anything and people would make fun of me.
It's a safe place. Yeah, it is a safe place. It's love. It's all love. All the show is therapy. It's just airing.
It's just, it's so
fucking
hard
for me.
You're
going to be stronger after that. I think you're going to have more confidence.
Have you beat the loss levels?
No, I won't even play the Lost.
I won't even. Oh yeah, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. No way.
You're stupid if you try to play the Lost.
Yeah, no, I don't like those.
God, it's so.
Any other classic gaming stumpers? Is that a thing?
I think generally speaking, classic gaming in my mind should be easy. You know what I mean? Like in my mind, we played it when we were kids. We were successful when we were kids, and then now when I go back to play games, I'll admit Mario is a lot more difficult now than it was back then, and that makes me feel dumb because I feel like I am better in every way than young me. You know, I'm stronger, I'm faster, I'm more intelligent.
Concentration levels have gone into the toilet.
Oh, I have horrible. Yeah, well, I guess
that's a problem.
Yeah, that is kind of true. But still,
one
I mean,
mistake in a game like that, you're done.
But those games are tough, and I feel like they should be easier. You know, but I know they're not. You know, they weren't. There wasn't saving. There wasn't checkpoints back in the day.
There was Game Genie.
Well, there was Game Genie, but again, only dumb people.
Yeah,
use
only
that.
Dumb people had Game Genie.
Oh no, I had all the code books too.
Yeah. Did you really?
Do shitty games make you feel dumb?
Or guys, come play with my game.
They're terrible because they're shitty.
Well, I don't know, like, then I go, I remember feeling really dumb playing E.T. on the Atari, but then feeling redeemed years later when I realized how broken that fucking game was.
Well, do you feel dumb because the game is hard, or do you feel dumb because you played the game?
Like,
I feel dumb for buying Bayou Billy. I don't feel dumb because that game made me feel dumb.
I mean, I guess my intent for tonight was to find those moments that made you feel dumb.
Okay.
While playing the game.
Backgammon for the Atari. I felt so dumb playing that because there were no instructions, and I've never played backgammon before that point. And I was like, I can't figure this game out just by trying to play it. I felt dumb.
You know, actually, Pitfall made me feel kind of dumb because I didn't realize that little Squiggly, I thought it was my friend, and
Scorpion.
It wasn't. It was a snake. Little Squiggly was a snake, and I was like, oh, why do I keep dying?
Six.
And some kid next to me was like, oh, it's a snake, dude. Jump over it. And
it looks like a pile of rope.
It does.
Magic rope.
That'll
like,
probably
I'm
help.
I'm going to grab it. And
help.
Yeah.
Why does it have a little red tongue? It doesn't matter. Magic ropes, you know, do their own thing. They don't stick to the rules.
They had red back then?
I don't think so, but I'm kind of embellishing a little bit.
It's a pitfall.
Okay.
Well, the game that kind of jumped out at me that we talk about quite a bit, and Cole, you can laugh at this, but seriously, the first time I fought Mike Tyson, I was like, I have mastered this game. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
Wait, that didn't make you feel dumb.
It did.
It made you feel like Robin Givens.
Oh,
topical.
You were so excited about the difference between when we do our live shows. I could see the ideas come to his face. Yeah. And he was so proud of himself.
It's a warning sign.
Should I say it? Should I say it?
He's like, we are going to cross a line right now.
We did it.
Don't make those eyes at me. I think I'm supposed to punch you when you do that.
Oh, man.
But I don't even, like, do you, especially that game, do you remember how you learned how to beat each of the different guys? I mean, I'm pretty sure I had to see somebody else had to pass that knowledge down to me of how to beat Tyson.
Nintendo Power.
No, that's true.
I still feel dumb playing that game sometimes, like when Bald Bull does his rush and I miss it. I feel really dumb.
You feel like you should know. You feel like you should have the pattern down, and something happens. The Glass Joe actually hits you.
What's the Great Tiger?
Yeah. Yep.
That guy still kicks my ass today. I mean, I actually did beat that game when I was a kid, but
persevered. I feel like you just missed your window of like when you would have had the skills to beat Mario.
Yeah, that may be right. Something about the timing with some of those bosses was really hard. But that was just one of those things where like the games back then required this most precise, you know, action and movements. And thankfully we had good controllers then. But like you would just know what you needed to do and you could not execute.
Yeah.
And that always made you feel like fool. Pitied myself.
Before kind of changing gears here, this kind of leads me into my first question for the group. Because Josh, I think we've identified, but what game is your nemesis? Is it Super Mario Brothers?
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, it's always it's a hot topic.
While you guys are thinking, JP's posed this in chat, and we've got a few responses from first Brandon and James. Alone in the Dark is their nemesis.
The Ryan, original?
I'm guessing so.
Yeah, hopefully.
Ryan in chat, unfortunately, you might be your own nemesis here, Ryan, if you actually played Never Dead, but that's his current nemesis.
Oh, wow.
Now he's my nemesis. And then JP's is Shinmue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know where we can find any sailors? Resident Evil 3. That's my
joke.
You know...
Sorry, Cole.
It's okay.
I think my nemesis
Great Minds.
Will definitely have to be StarCraft 2. The more recent, I'm just thinking about it because I want to try to get on and play that game, but I'm so bad. Like, I get beat so quick.
So Korea is really...
Well, I was going to say, yeah. If I yeah. A whole country. Entire country.
Cole, anything jumping out?
Yeah, I was going to make the Resident Evil 3 joke, but it is Resident Evil. Just, I don't know what it is about that game, but I just... It makes me feel so stupid. The original.
Makes you feel... I had some very helpless moments during at least the PlayStation 1 version of it. I finally pushed through on the GameCube.
You know what makes me feel even more stupid is watching the Moses Trio beat it in like 2 hours.
Well, how
and then
about,
I try to play it and I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
We had one of our other friends, when the remake came out in the GameCube, he beat the remake and then Resident Evil 0 like and unlocked everything in the game. Like, I didn't even know there were secrets, like as far as like you get more stuff if you keep playing it. And I don't know, I think the zombies were working on his team by the end of it at some point.
That's a good secret.
I felt pretty dumb that I didn't even know that was possible. But one of my first nemesis is just basically any of the Sim games, but Sim City, just because I don't think I really ever understood what it takes to actually, when they started adding in like waterways and connecting
public works, it's too much.
Yeah, like when things got different from just like, this is my industrial area, this is my residential area, like that was all I could really comprehend at the time. I just remember being really intimidated by SimCity, and I've never really gone back to very many Sim games because
is
of that.
Is that 2000?
Oh yeah!
No, this is before.
That's the big one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Like, I couldn't get through the first one. So there's no way.
Never played original.
I do take that back. One SimTown, I was pretty good at.
After playing SimCity 2000, I actually tried to run for mayor. I was 10 at the time, and so obviously, you know, there were some restrictions there. But I mean, I built those big
Oh, once you get really good, you, what are those things called?
What was your platform?
Skyscrapers?
PC. No, it's not a skyscraper. It's like the next level of, it's this self-contained, chat help me out, self-contained environment. Once you do
Biodome?
Really well, it's kind of like a biodome, a giant biodome. My whole city was filled with those, and all my citizens were completely satisfied with everything that I did. I mean, they had no complaints.
Modern utopia. Everyone's happy.
Utopia? Monopoly.
Ethan, what other games made you feel dumb?
You know, actually, I just, real quick, I wanted to add that Resident Evil made me feel really dumb after surviving zombies, giant lizards, snakes, spiders, all that. But then I got
sharks.
Crushed by a freaking boulder.
Sharks.
I died. That's how I died. I got killed by a boulder. And I didn't have a save at the time, so that ended the whole thing. But, you know, actually, the games that kind of make me feel really dumb are games that you have a lot of choice in. And those games where you can pick who you want to, you know, be allies with, and you have to kind of make judgment calls. And the series, it does a really good job of just making you feel stupid for the choices you make, is the Fallout series. Definitely I want to talk about Fallout 3 and an incident that happens at Tenpenny Towers. As you all know, essentially you can affiliate yourself with, you know, two different kind of, if you're good, you're going to stick to
Bloods.
The Bloods, and then bad or the Crips. No. Tenpenny Tower is kind of where you go to do kind of some evil missions. That's where you live at. If not, then you live at, I forget what the town is called.
The town. The little town. The first town.
With the bomb.
It's called First Town.
It's not called First Town.
Nuketown.
Nuketown. Something like, I don't know what it is. I forget.
Spoilers!
Yeah. But anyway, there's a scene. Tenpenny Towers is pretty pretentious. It's kind of like a gated community. Only the best wasteland survivors can live there. And once you get there, you come upon these ghouls, and ghouls in the Fallout universe are essentially
gross.
Well, they're gross.
They're lesser people,
but they're zombies with they had feelings too.
They're not zombies.
They're zombie-ish.
And they might as well be.
They might as well
be
zombies.
They look like zombies.
But okay, anyway.
They're intelligent.
They're intelligent. They're not zombies mentally. They're just zombies on the surface. But here's the thing. What happens?
I learned a lot about you tonight.
What? I roll up on this, and this is when I first start playing this.
What are you driving?
I drive up in my Kia.
I fast traveled up.
Yeah, that's exactly what
my vault truck.
And I walked up, and I met this group led by this ghoul in this really big hat. And they were upset about something. I said, hey, guys, what's up? That wasn't the dialogue choice, but, you know, more or less that's what it equated to. And they were like, look, we just want to find a home, and these dudes in this tower have all this space. They won't let us in just because of the way we look. And I thought, no, that even in the future, man, bias, judgmental people, doesn't work. We'll never survive. So I walked up to this tower, and I spent like an hour and a half convincing the residents of this gigantic old hotel to let the ghouls in, you know? And I felt good about it because at the end of the day, they were making friends. And so I left. I was like, hey, see you guys. Glad I saved everybody. Glad I added a lot to this situation. And I pussed around, did some quests. And I thought, you know what? I should check back on that situation. Just see how great those two groups are getting along. And I walk in, and there's only ghouls in there. No humans at all. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm talking to the ghouls, and they're kind of beating around the bush a little bit. And I had picked a lock in the back. And what did I discover? A room full of bodies of the former residents of the hotel. Now, don't get me wrong. They were dickheads, okay? They were not cool. They were pompous as hell. And I understand why maybe somebody would want to be upset with it. But all of them got killed. These ghouls, I did it. It was my fault. I felt so dumb. So I murdered all the ghouls. So everybody was dead at the end of the day. But I felt absolutely like it totally beefed me, man. I really thought I was doing good deeds, and that makes me feel really dumb when I think I'm doing good deeds, and I'm doing bad deeds. Mr. Deeds.
Don't do Mr. Deeds.
Don't do Mr. Deeds.
No, I was actually, I think, looking back, because your story's over, correct? Nothing else happened?
Yeah. Sorry, that was really in-depth.
Nothing
else. Aria.
Just nothing else happened. Because
no.
I did the exact same thing. I was very weird. I didn't know if my character in Fallout was good or bad, but I tried to always help people out and get them to get along, and I thought this was like the perfect opportunity. I was always looking out for the ghouls. Ever since the first one I met, I wanted to help them out. But I did the same thing, and I came back, and the ghouls had taken over, so I killed all of them, and I felt a little bit more justified. But sadly, that was at the end of my Fallout game, and I didn't get to like continue that character arc. But it was like I was just over it. I was like, I helped you guys out, and you killed a bunch of people and screwed me over, so I returned the favor.
Yeah.
And one of my prouder moments of Fallout, actually.
Yeah. No, it's just... It and games.
I'm sorry
that.
You got taken advantage of.
Well, I totally did. And that's not the... I mean, in that and Red Dead Redemption, I wrote an article about the whole Sasquatch situation. I put... I killed a whole race of animals. Mythological beasts are in extinction because of me. That was such a sad scene. Anybody else do that?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Undead Nightmare. Oh, I didn't spoil it for you, but it just, yeah. Don't listen to crazy hobos that live in the woods. Just don't. You know? Give them food if they ask for food, but that's all.
All these, I think all the games that are going to have moral choices lend themselves to having moments where... Well, I mean, Mass Effect makes you feel dumb in other ways because sometimes you will select dialogue options that say one thing and he completely spins it around in a different direction. So I feel dumb for choosing those options when they've kind of tricked me into it. But there are a lot of those moral decisions that I feel dumb for when they later backfire on me. And but beyond that, like, when have you guys felt dumb for being used in games? Are there any moments that...
Just for being used... Used in real life sometimes, it makes you feel dumb.
Yeah.
So I usually try to avoid those times when I'm playing games. Yeah.
Any other dumb moments, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I've got it. We've talked before. Obviously. Yeah. Well, of course. We've had these conversations for a while now about MOBAs.
Yeah.
Particularly League of Legends. And how we all suck at them, or maybe we haven't played it at all. But I'm around it like every day, like people are talking about it at work and stuff. So knowing so many people that play the game, I thought, like, you know, it would be really cool if this is a game I could actually play. And I hadn't played it like all that much. I'd played a few games, and actually I had... Just because I did not want to get roped into a situation where I had to play and let the teams down, because I know how seriously some of my friends take the game. I actually made a different account to practice under. No one knows this. This is the first time I've told anybody about this. Exclusive. That game makes me feel dumb. I understand the point of the game. I understand some of the strategies, you know. There's like a couple characters I know, like, you know, like I can look like, oh, okay, I can play this character because some of them are easier to play than others, I think. Had this problem with Dota as well. I just, in the heat of the moment, you know, it's 5-on-5, your teammates are relying on you, expecting you to know what to do. If they have to stop and give you instructions, they're hurting themselves because they got to look at wherever you are on the map, you know, that kind of thing. And there are just moments I'm like, oh no, something bad just happened. Or I'll get yelled at for something. You know, somebody's typing, like, terrible things. Keep the filter on.
All caps.
Yeah. Or correct punctuation.
Oh. Mm-hmm. No. The worst with these multiplayer games, and it's I think it's worse when you are cooperative or working with your team to defeat another team. That's when it's at its worst, when you're
letting other people down.
Yeah. I always struggle when I don't understand the acronyms they're using. Like, there's a lot when you're missing the lingo of the game. I mean, I remember, like, so often, even playing local Warcraft 3 games, just simple acronyms that I laugh at now, like, just...
GG!
Even that, I was like, harmless ones. I don't know how many games it took me to figure out what GG meant, but I was typing it, because everybody else was
good job!
And
GLHF.
But it's kind of...
He doesn't know.
Good luck, fuckers.
Good luck, have fuckers.
Good luck, have fun.
Yeah.
Is it? I'm good at acronyms.
Justin, I kind of totally derailed you there. But
I'm trying to figure out if it's... I think it's big on the strategy side, but I attribute it to any multiplayer game where you're working with the team. Because jumping into MMOs, where you do have more solo opportunities, but getting into guilds and, like, trying to speak up and get involved.
A raid, PvP.
Yeah. So it's not the game itself making you feel dumb, but the community the game has developed... I think
any community around any multiplayer game can make you feel dumb, even if you're going to first-person shooters. Like, especially,
I feel like completely, like, incompetent, but I don't feel dumb. Like with I was actually trying to make that separation between the shooter communities, especially like solo deathmatch style.
Maybe they make you feel dumb with just their comments.
I was gonna say
You don't feel like incompetent.
That may be the only community that can make you dumber. Yes,
yeah, I was gonna say.
I
think it's because of this expectation that once you play a game, you should know every aspect of the game. You should be an expert on it. I mean, I remember playing World of Warcraft, and somebody comes running up to me, and I can't see it because their character's face doesn't change to show emotion, but they type, it's like, PPT, TDG, DDD, and it was like, what? And like, they really needed me to respond.
King DDD was in there?
And I had no idea. I just, I waved. Like, I made my character, hey. I mean, you know, it's like, it is. There's a difference between feeling dumb and having people make you feel dumb, but it does. I feel like, if you don't research before you play a game, you're an idiot, you know?
And on the other side, like, I was kind of defending the games themselves and focusing more on the community, but even when I picked up The Old Republic, that first beta weekend, the way it was instructing me to do things compared to ways that I had played other MMOs, I felt dumb for a while that I couldn't do very basic things that I knew this game could do, but it was not making easy for me.
Like auto run?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like how to like navigate the map and fast travel, and like, is that an option or can I do this? And some of those games, like when you get further down in the genre, they take for granted that you already know, you've played other games to ramp you up to that point. And I felt dumb recently. Thank you, The Old Republic, and I want those 37 hours back. I checked my Rapid profile recently. Our next kind of random question here is, this is to kind of boost morale a little bit. Getting away from games that make you feel dumb. But what game have you really conquered? Have you beaten? Do you pretty much just, you own that game? You make it feel dumb. And while you're thinking about that from chat, we've got Ryan apparently conquered Rock Band, which I wonder if that, which instrument that might be. But there is a, I've had
flute.
Is there a flute?
The
rock band
with the wind instruments.
Yeah.
Rock.
That'd be awesome.
Rock symphony.
What about an oboe? I prefer to have an oboe.
Rock arena of time. Baby.
Brass band.
Big band.
Had to be a sousaphone.
And then Brandon has spoken a lot about his time with Left 4 Dead on the site, but apparently that is the game he has truly beat. Coleman, when you got to go feel
Josh,
good about yourself.
Sorry, I'm going to bring this up again, but Super Mario Bros.
Oh, fuck you.
Like I said, under 15 minutes, and I did it again earlier, Sunday or Saturday last week. I was on the phone with my wife.
On 3DS? Were you playing it on the virtual console?
No, I was playing on the Wii.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? Beats it on
better than him like saying, like, oh, I beat it while I was taking a shit. Like, that would be, like, way worse. Like, on a little 3DS pad or whatever with his giant hand.
Challenge accepted.
Josh, defend yourself. What game do you go to that makes you feel good about yourself?
Actually, Left 4 Dead, for sure.
Yeah.
That one is one. And I wouldn't have thought of that. Actually, Brandon had said something. Because that... I've really only ever played Left 4 Dead 1 on the hardest difficulty level. And I Left 4 Dead 2 on the next hardest. We do advanced, but on realism. So, and I always do really well. I feel like I own the shit out of that game when I'm playing with people that are also pretty decent, but I feel like I'm a really good teammate. So that'd be, but the first thing that pops in my head when you say, like, what's a game you always win at, or seen it. I beat the shit out of people at movie trivia.
You haven't played me.
I will beat your ass, I promise.
Oh, no.
Man. While you're sitting over there beating Mario Brothers, I'm watching stupid fucking movies. What do you got?
You don't have shit. We will have to fight.
Oh, boy.
Ethan?
You know, actually, I'm kind of a tower defense pro, I like to think, and definitely with Dungeon Defenders, I do well in that game. I remember that game, you know, reading reviews, people kind of said, oh, it's not really a game that you can play single player. I play the fuck out of that game single player, and I do pretty well. I'm just really good at those strategies. If I can take my time and formulate a plan, I do well, but as soon as you rush me,
As soon as you say, hey, go cover that. This is Battlefield 3. Go and do that. Like, take that flag. I'm just saying, in Battlefield 3, people are always rushing me. It makes me mad. But in Dungeon Defenders, I can take my time. I've got about 70 minutes, even when I'm playing with other people, to plan out things. Talk to my you know, coworkers. I call them coworkers in games, not teammates, coworkers. Makes more sense. It's a job in there. Yeah, and I do it. I flaunt it. I flaunt it, man. DD. It's all me.
I always like to go back to Mega Man 2, because that was probably the game I beat the most as a kid, and what? I still have it fairly memorized in my head. So, like, anytime I'm feeling a little bit doubtful of my skills.
It's a hard game.
I was going to say. But, like, I've still got that one a little bit. So.
I'm going to go back on that StarCraft 2 thing I said. It's Mega Man is my nemesis. Oh, my God, those games are tough. Those games are so... I want to be good at them. They're neat.
I'm guessing Nintendo Power told me how to beat Mega Man 2, but just that... I couldn't touch any other Mega Man game.
Even if it does.
I don't know the order of which Robot Masters to beat.
Even if it told you that, there's still a lot of skillful platforming that you need to be able to accomplish throughout that game, and I sucked at it. Like, those lasers, and
I think that's all I did. I think that's all I did. And also, I gotta admit, I felt pretty good during the Ken Griffey Jr. Home Run Derby.
Oh, man, you look good.
So.
Yeah, he's good.
Really?
He looks good, yeah. Period.
I can vouch for that.
Oh, come on, I mean, when I cranked out, like, a 575-foot home run,
but I feel like I own
that game.
Can of corn, weren't you?
Juan Gonzalez, you mean?
Yeah. All right, Coleman, kick us off with another batch of dumb moments in your gaming history.
Dumb moments. I'm going to go with an older genre of game. Well, Super Nintendo. Square RPGs on the Super Nintendo. And every RPG I play, I love RPGs. And every one I play, I get lost. I do something stupid. I play one way and then realize that, you know, a few hours in after doing that way, that's totally the wrong thing. Gotta switch it up and usually makes the game a lot easier. I mean, that still happens to this day, but I remember happening a lot in Square, the old Squaresoft RPGs, getting lost. There's plenty of things that I can go back to when I played those games, but getting lost, not knowing the next step to take, wandering around for a couple of hours and then figuring out it was back where I first started. those games made me feel dumb.
Any of the RPGs that I played through a lot as a kid and then would go back to and get stumped by, like when they re-released Ocarina of Time, there was...
Oh, Jesus.
I think... Hopefully I was playing the master levels, but I'm not even confident that I was. But I got stuck in the Fire Temple and had no idea what to do. And I was like, I beat this as a kid, and I can't figure this out as an adult. I am dumb. And then kind of along those same lines, it's been a while since I've played a true JRPG, but a couple years ago I went back and played Lost Odyssey, which was a newer RPG on the 360. And, you know, it's got some very traditional gameplay to it, and I was advancing... I was moving right along, and I got to a boss battle that I just completely wiped in about 30 seconds and didn't know what the hell happened. And I wiped multiple times on this guy, and I just felt just completely stumped by it. And then my a buddy of mine that was watching me play the game, that this is just his genre of choice, makes like one slight adjustment to my party as far as, like, you know, make this character do this. I think it was basically... you know, use more magic or something very basic that I had just lost sight of completely, and I walked through the boss at that point. But just, somewhere along the lines, I've lost my JRPG skills, and now I'm scared, and I will never touch a Xenoblade because of it.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. I know.
Not without protection.
Real quick, I remember, like, right after I got my 3DS, I started playing Ocarina of Time, and I got completely stuck in an early part of the game where I think you made fun of me and said you had to go talk to the Deku Tree to get the sword or shield or something. I don't even remember what it was, but man, that was embarrassing.
See,
those turn-based kind of JRPGs always made me feel dumb because it just seems like you don't have that many selections. You don't have that many movements. But I always got killed really bad. I always looked really foolish. I always felt dumb. Nathan, my brother, who's really good at them, too good if you ask me, laughed at me and said you should feel dumb all the time. And then he cried when Aerith died.
Works that in there.
Mm-hmm.
One more time. What if RPGs made you feel dumb, Josh?
Or do they?
I'm probably like PC RPGs more than anything, like Baldur's Gate, like the Infinity Engine games, even Icewind Dale.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the RPG games that always made me kind of feel stupid because it's probably worse because JRPGs. There's a lot of like weird randomness to it, or you can always just power level and then move on. But a lot of those older PC RPGs were more about like the tactics and strategy, especially those like D&D games like that. And I just
those drove me crazy.
I sometimes make poor decisions based on what I thought would look cool. I had that problem. Like when I play Fallout 2, and I'd be like, you could do those missions where you could. Be a porn star or the boxing king or whatever, and you get like those. You get to pick your own nickname. That was cool. And then later on, you maybe get people would not talk to you because of it. Be like, oh, you those adult movies. He's a dirty man. Don't want to talk to him. but I don't necessarily feel too dumb. I mean, I always knew what I was doing. If you actively make the bad decision, I don't think that is it doesn't make me an idiot.
Those questions that they'd ask you to be able to play Leisure Suit Larry, those always made me feel dumb. especially when I can't... I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing as an adult not being able to get into a Leisure Suit Larry game.
Do you want to talk about point-and-click adventure games then? Because that's a genre everyone can feel like an idiot about.
Pandora's Box.
Let's go to our final question, and then we'll come back to magical genre. But our final question of the evening... is which game is smarter than you? What jumps out to your mind? JP is pointing out the Civilization series, and what is he doing? sorry, the live action on Google Docs and
interns.
JP's throwing out the Civilization series, but what games jump out to you guys?
The game is smart. Oh, smart. Man.
I'm going to say lately it's like games like Braid. I'm sure when I play Fez, it'll be Fez. Just the puzzle games that, they look nice and cute, platformy, and then you get into them and you're like, what the hell is this? Braid made me feel real dumb.
NBA Jam.
Why did that?
The AI.
Oh. You can't be frustrated.
Specifically, the new version.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not bad. Yeah, well, yeah, but there's more to it than that in the new one. Like, I'm not bad at NBA Jam, like the old one. I've played that game against other people and won on many occasions. That, so I'm not the worst. This is what that tells me. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend who is also not bad, and the two of us must have played, like, I don't know what, difficulty levels or whatever. We were on either whatever the normal or, we usually would pick normal or one step above that in all games we play. So if that tells you anything. But we're playing, and it didn't matter what team we chose. We kept getting destroyed. We played as, like, the Celtics, and we lost, like, 15 games in a row, the first team. We couldn't beat, whoever, I don't know. Tom Gugliotta or whatever. I don't know who what the team was, but it was a big white guy and somebody else, and we just kept losing. I couldn't believe it. We were trying so hard, and we could not beat the first fucking team in this game. That's where I thought, like, damn, this game is good.
I'm guessing it's probably not Tom Gugliotta.
Well, no, I don't think he's been playing for a while. Maybe I don't remember. I don't watch basketball anymore. So
see, I always wonder if there's a differentiation between the games that are more intelligent than me and the games that are just straight up cheating. That just know what I'm doing, and I feel like when you're playing against a computer on high levels, I feel like on real time strategy games, sometimes I feel like, man, this computer is so intelligent, but then I realize that computer knows exactly what I'm doing. It's like being on Jeopardy. You're not more intelligent than that guy if you got all the answers right there. You're just cheating. You're just basically cheating. So
you can't cheat on Jeopardy.
Well, I know you can, but if you did,
you're saying the computer is cheating.
The computer is cheating against me. It's looking into my base. Oh, what are you making?
Yeah, but it doesn't know what you're going to do.
Well,
so there's still an element, and it's always beatable.
It's still smarter than us.
Yeah, maybe that is true. That makes me feel. I mean, this is why what happens with Skynet is that, you know, we just think it's cheating. It's just cheating. It makes better robots than we make, and then it's actually intelligent. It's intuitive.
I failed to see the connection to Skynet, but I'm glad we've gotten there.
Portal 2 makes me feel stupid. It's smarter than me. I mean, I'm not very good at that game. Maybe I'm just not good at that game. I'm just really dumb. Call of Duty makes me feel it's more intelligent.
You're making me feel dumb right now.
I am so dumb. After doing all this, I just feel dumb.
I do not. My self esteem is all time low right now.
I was
going
to say,
this show has done nothing.
I
want to
be playful and fun, but I can't because I do. I feel like an idiot.
Yeah. No, me too.
I'll never get my PhD like Doc Pizzle has his.
All right. Do we want to talk about adventure games?
Yeah.
Josh, where are you headed? You're headed down traumatic memory, it looked like.
Man. Look at his eyes.
I have struggled with many an adventure game, but. And, you know, you could, nowadays, you just go online. You know, that's cool. But you couldn't do that when you had, say, Maniac Mansion. I sucked at that game. I didn't know what to do. God damn it.
I didn't know what to do.
So many options. Oh, it was hard. I'll admit, like, some of the games I've played recently, like Yahtzee's Trilby, the Art Thief series, and, like, Gemini Rue, like, I didn't beat those by myself. Like, I went on, like, I looked up for some sections. I'll wait until I'm stuck, but I don't want to sit there for, you know, days on end. It's Deja Vu and Maniac Mansion. Those are the games that just, I sucked so hard and I did not have any sort of help. And so I end up, like, you know, I couldn't beat it. And, man, those make me feel stupid. Like, oh, you got an item now. What do you do with it? All right, let's just go around room to room and, like, there's too much stuff to do in those games to just take an object and like click it on every single thing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to stop and use your noodle. You got to be like, well, all right, what's the logical thing here? And sometimes, you know, you could say like, well, it's not logical. But every time you finally do discover a solution or somebody tells you the solution, you go, ah, I should have known. Every single time.
And it makes me feel so bad, too. Dumb. It's, like, obvious. Like because I think in those games, you always want to think of this outside-the-box kind of way to approach these puzzles. And sometimes, literally...
Why didn't I try this key on this door? On this keyhole.
I keep putting this tree, or I keep giving it to this talking cat, and it doesn't work. And,
there's
and
a pulley
in, fact,
in that chicken's neck for a reason.
Yeah. kind of in reference to that is actually... some of those games actually required... I remember King's Quest, what, 6... 5, 6.
Yeah, 6.
Where you actually needed to have the instruction booklet because there was a few codes that were contained within that the legend, and because you know I'm an oaf, a small oaf but an oaf nonetheless. I got so excited about the game. I just threw the instructions. Like, oh, I don't need this stupid thing. I can figure it out. And I got to a point where you're climbing up a mountain.
Didn't land. How come you couldn't just go?
It kept flying. Like it went free after that. That's not true. I made that up.
Oafs are strong.
But I got to this point where I was I threw it into orbit. And literally, I needed to have the code from the instruction booklet. And I was like, I am so dumb because there is no way. This was back before internet. This is what I had Prodigy internet. I think that's what it was. I had Prodigy. I didn't know how to use it. And I was like, I can't beat it. I was stuck. We had to wait till the internet was invented to solve that puzzle. 8 years ago.
And then you didn't have
Can't wait for that remake.
Didn't you have the giant floppy drive anymore?
I think the Sierra adventure game screwed me up because unlike the LucasArts games, I believe this is correct, you could actually die in the Sierra games move on without having the items you actually need to continue. Mm-hmm. And so...
Which some would call bad design.
But because I had been through those experiences, I think even to this day, sometimes I approach a game, I don't take it for granted like that it's going to tell me everything or it's responsible for my hoarding tactics of, no, I really might need that cheese wheel, mm-hmm. you know? And but recently when they re-released the special edition of The Secret of Monkey Island, which was like my default, my go-to adventure game that I don't know how many times I've beaten it, I got stuck and had to look up the answer on the Xbox 360 version too, and that was a low point in this generation for me. That I was like I didn't have to look it up as a kid, and I had no idea how to get on the island. I could not figure it out. But
so my wife played the new version, and she made me feel dumb because I tried to play it, and I was. Of the Monkey Island game, I was completely lost. Like, I never played the...
And that's Tails. You're playing Tails, right?
Tails, yeah. But I never played the original series at all. And so when I see her go through it, just completely destroy it, and then I get it, and I'm just like, what do I do with these socks on this clothesline? I have no idea, so...
Yeah, it's... We kind of... I think we, as a group, kind of revere adventure games a little bit, or just historically. But yeah, don't play those games if you want to feel good about yourself.
Oh, yeah. No. Especially if you have like an aversion to cheating or looking stuff up. You'll go to hell.
And you're right, though. The LucasArts... Well, I don't know if you were trying to imply this, but the LucasArts stuff are... some of the design on that, I think, was a little more forgiving. You know, and you know, when if you look at some of the... Recently, you know, the guys at... Oh, Jesus, Double Fine... Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert put out a video because they did the Kickstarter for the new point-and-click adventure game they're going to do. And they put out a video of them discussing, like, design of adventure games. A lot of it was about, you know, you want to make it challenging, but you don't want to make it illogical and too hard and make it a pixel hunt.
Yeah.
So there seemed to be a lot of that.
And
some of those other... from those other companies and designers.
I actually didn't mind with Sierra Games, knowing that I could die or I could screw up, because again, like, when you've achieved it, sometimes you feeling dumb is just pushing you to be more intelligent, you know. And I kind of like that, because if you beat, I know that sounds illogical, but I mean, that's completely is to be able to accomplish those puzzles, you feel a lot better afterwards. Because I think nowadays sometimes I struggle with games where I put so much thought into it and realize it's not that tough. There's waypoints on the map, you don't have to really look for anything. I sometimes miss that feeling of feeling dumb. I mean, I really do. It's almost like, where's the challenge at? It's almost right in front of me. And I haven't played an adventure game for a while. I haven't played Gemini Rue yet, but maybe I should play that, because I kind of like that feeling. I know we're talking about, maybe I don't think there's a negative connotation of feeling dumb here. Sometimes we like to feel dumb. At least I do.
You found a way to turn it around. Embrace the dumb. We enjoy games more because we're dumb. We get more gameplay. We get more time playing the games because we can't figure it out.
We whip right through it. Doesn't even matter. There's no value.
If you're
the
best ever, like if you were too smart to have a conversation with a normal, you know, human being,
I just talked.
Like, you wouldn't get anything out of it. Yeah, exactly.
Skynet.
We can talk with each other because we're both dumb.
Yeah,
but thankfully, I learned a lesson earlier tonight to never listen to a man that hasn't beaten Super Mario Brothers.
I'll listen to you.
Zing!
But just don't mention Super Mario Brothers, and we'll be okay.
Battle lines formed.
I want to
wrap this up, kind of tying it back to one of the games Cole mentioned, and that are is actually in Indie Game the Movie. But Fez has that moment when you do have to break out the pencil and paper. And there's actually a brilliant site that I found the other day of people are posting basically all their notes and their scribblings trying to make sense of Fez. But when I say break out the pencil and paper, what game kind of jumps out to mind? That when's the last time you went to the pad of paper to help you through a game? And we were playing through Legend of Grimrock the other day, and I guess that's actually an option. You can play through hardcore mode, and it won't give you the map, and you can start to kind of bust out the grid paper and draw your own map. But when have you been tempted to make notes? Use that. Don't throw that instruction book away. Use the notes section. Do you have notes in your journal, Josh Lee?
Maybe. Yeah. I actually did this recently, and I'm trying to remember what I did it with. There was a game I was playing, and I actually had to get my notebook out. I'll find it. You guys go ahead.
Actually, I have two. One, it was recently Penumbra, and then also Amnesia: The Dark Descent. There was a few puzzles in there that I had to kind of line stuff up.
Wait, is Amnesia, is that a tricky puzzle game?
Yes, actually.
Okay, I feel better now, because that game's made me feel dumb, too.
I want I want to hear what his notes are. But actually, back when I played Symphony of the Night, I actually made a list of all the enemies and actually what they dropped because I was trying to get everything.
Yeah.
And that wasn't because I was feeling dumb, but I just wanted to keep track of everything. That was more of an obsession type thing. But yeah, Amnesia and Penumbra definitely have some puzzles. And actually, I want to retract what I said earlier because those games did stump the hell out of me recently. And
by the way, you said you didn't retract things.
That's cool. Right. That's,
no. Waiting.
Okay, just waiting. I was wrong. I was wrong about what I said earlier. It was inaccurate. I didn't retract it. I was wrong and inaccurate. Yeah, those games definitely needed some pen and some paper.
Cole, do you have anything before we get to an excited Josh Lee?
Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to take us home.
Man, I know I've done it recently, and I just cannot remember what game it is.
I think in your notes you also, genre we didn't touch on was I used to write down all the finishing moves and special moves in fighting games.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely did that.
That was a pen and paper game, and then passwords for Mega Man, but that wasn't the same type of
password for password for Metroid and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I want to say I busted out for Metroid 2 Return of Samus because that like those old games didn't really come with the same type of map that the newer adventure games did. But Josh, what do you got?
No, I did recently have I was playing I think Dungeon Crawl, the Stone Soup, you know, with the tile set and all that. Before our, you know, roguelike checkpoint and all that stuff. And I was trying to, like, those runs for me are usually very short. I die in pretty short order. But I, like, when I want to, if I think I got, like, a good run going, like, you don't know what you're drinking when you're drinking potions and stuff. And so, like you just write down, like, oh, the blue whatever one is this thing or that thing. So, if it doesn't kill you when you drink it, you figure out what it is and, you know, whatever. It had to have been a roguelike with taking notes or something like that. But there was some other game I was playing. I just can't remember what it was. But I will say this. I just opened up my notebook and I saw this page. And this is not my handwriting. But there's two numbers. It says, number one, big victory lies in the back. Number two, life.
It sure does.
Life, colon, it takes the most to live with less. This, who did this? Who? Which one of you did this?
I think it was the old man from The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's gonna do it.
That's really good advice, though.
I know. It's really
good play then.
Yeah, but so big victory.
Remind me to have an uplifting topic for next week. The next horrible show because
we're
a little rough on each other. But we're gonna take the show home with some HorribleNight.com updates. First of all, a few of our staff members have started streaming their own videos, so you're going to see a few more personalities streaming on our Twitch TV station in the future, and we're also working to hopefully get a schedule up of at least some recurring streaming gaming events that you can count on. So hopefully we make some progress in that direction in May, but you may be seeing a little bit more of Ethan's face, so you're welcome, and I'm sorry.
Beware.
And Our other topical podcast, The Cursed Checkpoint, has been a lot of fun for us to put together. But it's a shorter show that is centered on one gaming topic, and we're always, I wanted to open that up to our audience, always taking input for what episodes you'd like to see or what topics you'd like to see us cover, because we're generating them on our own and it's been going along fine, but I hadn't really opened it up to our community, and we're kind of doing this for you, and we want to know what you want to hear about, because we're happy to talk about it. So if you have Cursed Checkpoint ideas, hit us up on our contact form on HorribleNight.com. And also this week is HorribleNight.com's second birthday. So Terrible Twos are upon us. And that's why we have Ethan on board. So happy birthday, guys. And also, in addition to our reveal of the indie game, the movie screening, we will be posting some more stuff on our site and sending out Facebook invites to the actual screening. And talking with JP, we did not have a winner tonight, so I'm going to pose another question.
What's wrong with people? Yeah. Use the internet.
Yeah, use it.
I'm going to pose the question to on the site here later this week. So we're going to be having a giveaway yet this week, and probably a second giveaway closer to the show. But Look up information on the movie and stay tuned for more meetups and more information about the event itself. We're pretty excited for it.
You should all feel dumb.
The real fools are you.
Yeah.
That was the whole turnaround. That was the twist at the end. But that's going to do it for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Sorry the giveaway was not a success, but we hope you're excited about the movie. And hopefully get to see you there in person. Next week, we'll have another episode of Super Gaming Best Friends, and about a month from now, there will be another horrible show live. But until then, thanks for joining us. We will catch you next time, or stick around here tonight. We're about to do some live gaming with Trials Evolution and Hiding in Plain Sight.
Hips.
And so that'll be coming your way here. After a quick little break, we'll be back on Twitch TV to do some live gaming.
Don't go anywhere.
No.
Don't do it.
Stay tuned.
Josh says we can go much, much quicker.
It's ready right now.
Oh. Stay tuned.
Okay, we're going to change the title. We're going to go.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.